No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, with that article from The Athletic. Well, actually, not the one you're thinking of. There's another one. There's a couple articles from The Athletic that do not paint things very well for the Colorado Rockies. I've got some audio from Ryan Ritter discussing his first weekend as a big leaguer and just his general favorite moments, caught up with Sam Hilliard. I'm going to have you listen to Bob Melvin talking about his least favorite moment at Coors Field. And this should make you smile. Some Giants transactions, some ex-Rockies in the news, All-Star game voting. Let's just jump into it. So tomorrow I will discuss, should be live from the ballpark, the quotes from Troy Tulowitzki, Nolan Arenado on just the state of the Rockies right now. And I posted something about it on Tuesday from the article, and people had a lot of comments about Nolan saying basically that the whole organization needs to rebuild in a major way, which I'm almost at a loss for words. Who would dare argue that? Who would dare argue that? Dick Monfort himself wouldn't argue it. Now, he might not do that, right? There's a difference between those two things. But you can't be serious if you're going to argue that everything shouldn't be torn down. It absolutely should. But there is another article. I'll talk about that tomorrow. There's another article written by Dennis Lynn. He typically covers the San Diego Padres. This was interesting. Really, the whole staff over on The Athletic did a great job working with over 100 ball players to get their opinions on a lot of different things. But this one was interesting. Caught my eye. It was about where players want and don't want to play. That's right. What major league teams are in favored status and which are not favored. Over 100 players were interviewed during spring training, a little bit after that. The first question was, aside from your current manager, who do you want to play for the most? And maybe not surprisingly, the guy that among active managers has the most World Series for, Bruce Bochy, came out on top. 20 out of the 121 respondents said Boch. Number two is Terry Francona at 17. Stephen Vogt, after just 1 year, had gotten 15 votes. Then he had Craig Counsell, Brian Snitker, Dave Roberts. A little surprised he was that low. Alex Cora, Carlos Mendoza, Aaron Boone. And there were 16 different names, 16 different managers, one of whom isn't even employed right now. Two votes for Dusty Baker. So good for him. A couple guys getting one vote. Bud Black did not get one for that one, but he did get the most, or tied for the most, when players were asked which manager, aside from your own, would you not want to play for. Ollie Marmol and Bud Black both getting five votes. Now, only 40 players responded to that one, as it has obviously negative connotations. This was all done anonymously, or at least off the record in that sense. So the fear of backlash certainly was not there, but even still, Bud Black getting the most. But I think the comments were what was so interesting. The two comments were, honestly, whoever was the Rockies manager was who I was going to say. So, okay, Warren Schaefer, you know, on his first day on the job, he would have gotten a vote if you would have done that survey. So, okay, there's that. But then the other one, which, you know, I don't necessarily know that to this to be true. And I'm not sure if this is a reference to during the game or before the game. It was, quote, because he doesn't stop talking when he's in the dugout. And as a player, it gets kind of annoying. Plus, it means I'd be pitching in Colorado. Look, the Colorado part, pitching at Coors Field is the big one. But then after that, all right, if you're just annoyed by Bud Black, you know, being somewhat verbose, I guess so. But yeah, look, this was just a vote for the Rockies. I think that's pretty darn clear. And the next section, I thought, is just really one that has been plaguing the Rockies for, I think, a while. It was what organizations have good reputations and which have bad reputations. And you could vote for multiple teams in each category. And of the 126 respondents, 82 said the Dodgers have a good rep. And no, the Rockies were not last, believe it or not. They were not last. The Yankees were number two. They only had 40, so they had less than half of what the Dodgers had. Three people actually gave them a nod in terms of having a bad reputation. But all the way at the bottom is the Athletics. 39, 115 different players responded negatively. 126 responded good. So again, those negative connotations, some players, and this is true, I think, in all sports, they don't want to talk negatively. So I'll just say nothing. But if you want us to talk positively, yes, I'll absolutely do that. Athletics had the most votes at 39, which, considering that, you know, they're going to play in three different cities over the course of about 5 years, yeah, that's a rough situation. You don't want to be there. Now, the White Sox, of course, setting the record last year with 121 losses. They finished 29th, and then 28th was the Rockies at 25, tied with the Marlins. Pirates not too far behind at 24, Angels 19. And then after that, it was the Mariners at 3. So really, it's just those six organizations that just are clueless in so many different ways. Angels, Pirates, Marlins, Rockies, White Sox, and Athletics. And I'd be curious if you do this survey next spring, which the Athletic is usually good about running these things back and having a somewhat of a historical archive to go back and compare and contrast, I think the Rockies are going to end up finishing first. If it could still be the A's because of their fluid situation with their home ballpark, but I think anytime you break a Major League Baseball record for most losses, that's not a good list to be on. So I think they're going to be there. And, you know, it's interesting because the Rockies every offseason, when they do sign a player, even if it was a minor league deal, although they don't really talk too much publicly with the minor league deals, but when they do sign a player to a big league contract, almost always you hear them saying, this guy wants to be here, as if that means something of importance. And I phrase it that way because if a player doesn't sign with your team, it doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't want to play for the Colorado Rockies. He just has a better deal somewhere else. That's it. So, yeah, sure, he's willing to play for you. He's signing that contract, but does this guy want to play for you? And it seems like most of the guys that have been there, free agents that they've brought in, do, you know, want to play for Colorado, or, you know, want that opportunity to play for Colorado and then potentially get traded off to a contender at the deadline. So it's just fascinating because in talking with someone in the past few weeks that is close to the Rockies front office or is within the organization, I'll leave it at that. But I posed a question to this person saying, if you were drafted fourth overall by the Rockies and you were a high school player, would you go to college or would you sign with the Rockies? And I think it's dependent on each situation. Ethan Holliday is a player that I think would sign with Colorado. And I think Matt Holliday would very much be interested in having his son sign with the Rockies and opening the door to get back into coaching, something that he pulled the ripcord on a few years ago when he was named the bench coach for the Cardinals and ultimately decided, yeah, no, I still got to raise my boys, still got to raise Jackson and Ethan. So I'm not ready to go back and travel and do that 7-8 month grind. That is the Major League Baseball season. So Ethan Holliday getting drafted 4th overall, again, opens the door to the Holliday family. If you're Seth Hernandez and you're still available, do you want to go pitch in the minors for a Rockies organization that hasn't produced really a high school draft pick to contribute somewhat notably since I can't think. I put myself on the spot and I'm failing. Now, of course, you know, Riley Pint is a name that everyone is probably shouting right now at your podcast box. But I specified contributed in a significant way. You know, parts of 2 seasons for 2 stints that lasted a couple days. That's not how I would define proper development. You want to have a actual baseball career. You'd like to last 10 years. So, you can get your full pension, which comes after 10 years. And that's what you want for your career, not just make it to the majors because you're selected 4th overall. So if you're a college guy, you know what, you have to bet on yourself, sign that deal as a junior, as opposed to going back to your school as a senior. Does that happen? Maybe, maybe not. If the two parties are that far apart in price, then maybe. But, you know, the Rockies are smart enough to, you know, decide, hey, you'll take this money that we are going to offer you and sign. Yes. Okay. Then we will draft you. Like it's pretty simple and straightforward. But if the Rockies were to, you know, get ambitious and say, oh man, we just can't pass up, you know, a high school arm of Seth Hernandez's caliber. We got to take him, even though maybe we don't have a close relationship with him. I think you could see Hernandez go off to college and Rockies, you know, not lose that pick. They'll get compensated next year. In fact, you know what? Now that I say that, son of a gun, I think I just figured that out. I think I just figured it out because the Rockies can only select 10th is the highest that they could pick next year because of the new CBA rules with the draft lottery. You know, if they were to draft Seth Hernandez and, you know, I don't know the specifics. I think you have to have a goodwill contract to offer out, right? In good spirit that you're not going to offer the guy $500,000. That's absurd. So you would have to have a legitimate contract to offer this player. And if that player rejects your contract, then Rockies get that pick back plus one next year. So they'd have the 5th pick and the 10th pick. But that does mean they would not have a first round pick for 2025. And that would be not good. That would not be great optics, to say the least. So that certainly is a bad scenario. But man, that could possibly spin some things, at least for next year. If you really want to punt on 2025, that's a great way to do it. But no, I don't think that's going to happen. Rockies just have such an awful, awful image issue all around baseball. But right now, a young man that has a nice image issue because he finally got to make his debut, plied his trade down in AAA, and did a great job with the Albuquerque Isotopes, winning the Pacific Coast League Player of the Month for May, 3 weeks in a row. He was the player of the week, was the organizational player of the month for position players with the Rockies. And that was Ryan Ritter. You watched him over the weekend. You've heard me talk about him the last couple of days, but got a chance to talk with him one-on-one about his first weekend in the bigs. Where's that baseball from his first big league hit? And how is preparing for a series now different than the past few years in minor league baseball? Monday is an off day, and then you play the same team 6 times in a row. You play them the next week, and so there are going to be relief pitchers you face multiple times. Now, not going to be the case for these 3-game series, so make sure you listen into his thoughts on how his preparation looks a little bit different in the bigs.
Finally made your debut this weekend. You had the day off on Monday. was that kind of a moment for it to kind of settle down, settle in that, wow, this dream really did come true?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great day to just sit by myself, my own thoughts, because all my family left now. So, I mean, yeah, back to reality, back to them supporting me through the phone, and it was just reflected, and I was very happy about it. The weekend, very fun weekend.
Did you have to make most of the logistical stuff about where you're going to live, where you're going to stay? And were you excited to get back to the ballpark and get into the grind once more?
Yeah, and I was definitely excited to get a day off and reflect and just relax again and then get back at it, because I know we got 13 days in a row, I'm pretty sure it is. But, yeah, I mean, I'm still in the hotel. I'm just taking it day by day right now, and then we'll be on the road, so I don't got to worry about any of that.
Normally in AAA, you're playing a team for 6 days, so you know you're probably preparing for a week of games. You're going to see the same amount of guys. Is the preparation any different for these series, which are only 3 games at a time?
Yeah, I guess that's the adjustment I got to make, is what I need to do for these 3 games instead of 6-game series, because you know you run into the same guys in the bullpen and same starter twice a week, so it's going to be a little different, but not much different.
Did you have a favorite thing from the weekend other than just, you know, getting to play, but where there's those little moments that jump out as like, I'm never going to forget this part?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when I hit the triple and then I heard my whole family cheering my last name, like, that was probably the best part about it. And the support after the game, like, hanging out with all them, because I know they've been supporting me throughout my whole career, so it was good to see, like, me make it. It was good for everybody.
Do some of them have Ritter 47 Rockies jerseys too?
Yeah, dude, that's my number. Like, that's the number. You know, that's my dad's number. That's the number I've always had my whole life. So, like, that's like the family number. So, yeah. keep that.
The triple baseball, what are your plans for that? Your first big league base hit?
Yeah, so it's right there in the locker. So, just gonna, I mean, shoot, one day have like a man cave, right? I'll fit it up there. But as of right now, just probably put it on top shelf.
Yeah. Did you know you were the first player to ever triple in their debut for the Rockies?
I heard. That's crazy. That was a very exciting moment, but I didn't know that prior. But after that, I was like, wow, that's so cool.
Sunday, you get your first career RBI, and I saw the ball got thrown into the Mets dugout, and there's an authenticator there. Has that ball gotten back to you at all, do you know?
Oh, I have no idea where that ball is. I have no idea, but yeah, just happy to get that first RBI.
Yeah, that's good. Also, in the debut, you made the out. Estrada tossed you the ball in the first inning of your first game, and then you just threw it right into the stands. And I thought, like, oh, I wonder if you realized what he was doing there. Like, did you want to keep that one at all, or that's one's for the fans?
No idea what I was thinking there. I didn't think of it. Oh, like, my first out, like, I was just like, all right, another out. Like, I didn't think about it that deep.
Yeah.
But I was trying to, like, I didn't know where my family was located. I was, like, trying to hit him. But, like, I knew it wasn't even close.
It was great to see Sam Hilliard back at the ballpark, back at Coors Field, a guy who's been doing it since 2019. One of the just best genuine people that I've had the privilege of covering for the Rockies. Caught up with him a little bit. And in talking with him, I was reminded of the 2019 team. If you remember, there was that, you know, 1 month window basically when the entire season fell apart in the matter of 4 weeks, where the Rockies had the final wild card spot as of July 1st that year in 2019. And then it just fell apart. Arenado made his comments about things looking like a rebuild. I think he was also talking about the young group of players that had gotten called up and that were calling themselves Las Cucarachas, the cockroaches, right? They just wouldn't die. They wouldn't go away. Sam was one of those cockroaches. And we talked about that. And he sort of acknowledged that, like, yeah, you know what? I guess I am the last cucaracha. I'm the last cockroach. He said he's not going away. He was very, very proud of that fact. I need to talk with him at the ballpark later today on Thursday about that to get him on wax, so to speak, because good interview, great guy. It's good to see him having some success early on with the Rockies here. He's a dude that just keeps grinding, relishes the opportunities he's been given, and just won't go away. He's easily on the 26-man roster of players that I've loved covering in my time doing so since 2018. Here's some interesting audio from Bob Melvin on Coors Field. I asked him about Coors Field. It's the 30th anniversary. It was something that was a common question that was tossed in at the end of every scrum for the opposing manager the first month of the season. And then we kind of went away from it. But Bob Melvin has managed in this ballpark a lot. And so I wanted to get his thoughts. What was your most favorite, least favorite? And he started with the least favorite And also goes on to answer about Giants fans traveling Denver to support their team. Certainly not invading Coors Field quite like Mets fans, but nevertheless, here's Bob Melvin on his least favorite memories of Coors Field.
Least favorite? Yeah, probably was 07 when we got beat in the NLCS here when I was with the Diamondbacks. But just, you know, it can, just this ballpark you have to be, as a manager, you got to be a little more patient. You know that things play a little bit differently here, so... it's a beautiful place to play. They've kept this thing up. It looks like the same it did when it, you know, when it first opened up. But it's unique in how it plays. And I think hitters tend to look forward to coming here, even though you can't think too much about that. But really, the things for me more than anything is when it's been a packed house here, which you see quite a bit, the fans are into it, the ballpark's beautiful, and you tend to see some home here.
Tend to see a lot of Giants fans that show out at Coors Field, too. I'm sure that feels nice to travel well in a place like this.
Giants fans travel basically everywhere, but I think a place like this, San Diego, some of the closer places within the division, we get a little bit more support here, so that's also nice.
Transaction before Wednesday night's game, Patrick Bailey placed on that 10-day IL with a neck strain. He was a late scratch on Tuesday. The hope was that he'd be able to get back into the lineup on Thursday. Not going to happen. Oslavis Basabe designated for assignment and then called up to take Bailey's spot beside Andrew Kisner as the number two catcher. Is Logan Porter got his contract selected from AAA Sacramento. Now Porter's already debuted. That was back in 2023, ever so briefly. He's an undrafted player who attended, and this is a real school. Shame on me for not knowing it, but it does sound made up. Utah Tech University. Partially, it sounds made up because we're not talking about, you know, a college that maybe one of your coworkers attended. We're talking about a Major League Baseball player going to a school called Utah Tech University, which if you're a Tech, how could you also be a university? It just seems like a lot is happening there. So I didn't know them. I'm assuming it's probably a Division II. Could be a Division I AA. I don't know. It's in St. George, Utah. So, you know, maybe he'll have some family in attendance. Don't know. We'll see. He's actually not even from Utah. What am I saying? All right. Some ex-Rockies signings. Nick Martini signed a deal with the A's. He came up with them. I first saw him in Albuquerque in 2018, where he was tearing the cover off the ball with the Las Vegas Aviators. Well, he's back doing it again in just his first four games. .438 batting average, a .1233 OPS. With Colorado, he had one homer and had four RBI. He now has one homer and six RBI in four games with the Aviators already. Scott Alexander probably saw what the Giants were able to do to the Rockies on Tuesday night, signed a minor league deal to go back to the Giants. And then Nick Anderson, this was something a little over a week ago, 34-year-old former starter, relief pitcher now, signed a minor league deal with the Rockies. He was with the Cardinals at the beginning of the year, 6.20 ERA in the International League. Not great, but already in two scoreless outings for the Isotopes. He has looked all right. Scattered some hits, a little more hits than you would have liked. So he got lucky in those two outings, I think, just a little bit. So we'll wait and see what happens if the Rockies end up needing a big league depth, or if honestly that is just some AAA depth for Colorado right now. Phase one, we should be getting that probably in about another week and a half. I found it to be interesting. There was an article on MLB.com that a player hasn't repeated as the All-Star Game leading vote getter since A-Rod did it in 2007 and 2008. And that's probably going to end maybe with Aaron Judge. You know, is this a year for Ohtani to get the top votes? Remember, if you do get the most votes, you automatically have a spot. And if you're at a position, let's say shortstop, let's say Bobby Witt Jr. gets the most votes, that means now there is no more voting for the American League shortstop spot. So that's absolutely done. The Rockies are going to have one representative again this year. Think about this. This is actually going to be the fifth year in a row that the Rockies have only one representative. Before this current run, the longest the Rockies had ever gone with having only one rep was 2 years in a row. Happened three times. Think about that. The longest they had ever gone where, You're just getting the one guy in. Maybe he deserves it. Maybe he's, again, just the best option available. But just one rep after it happened a second year in a row, that third year, hey, it's all right. We got two guys in now. Feel a little bit better. Feel a little bit better about that. Two was the longest. This will now be the fifth consecutive year. I'm curious to see what happens when the votes are released halfway through phase one. We might not see any Rocky in the top 10 at any position. In the outfield, I think that early listing is like the top 25, but we might not see a single Rocky. I don't think that's ever happened before. I think last year it was close, but McMahon, you know, did have a really good first half. And so, you know, he was maybe seventh. I think Elias Diaz was there somewhere, maybe even Brenton Doyle, maybe Tovar. Look, the last few years, it's been really rough with the voting. McMahon and Goodman probably are the best shots to sneak into the back of the top 10 at their positions. Part of me wants to say that, yeah, Rockies fans will go out and support, but you're going to need fans in other cities. You know, you're going to need other fan bases to go and say, hey, let's give this guy some credit. You know what? Let's give the Rockies a little bit of love. I think Goodman has a much better shot at getting that love right now than Ryan McMahon, especially when you vote online and depending on the stats that are there for you to see, you're going to see double-digit homers from the catcher and go, hey, man, this guy can thump. He's like the big dumper, but in the National League, yeah, I'm going to give Hunter Goodman my vote. So I don't know if I want to say Goodman will get in the top 10. No. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think there is going to be a single Rocky in the top 10 in voting, unfortunately, because they've got Rockies right next to their name. Just like Bud Black leading that list of managers you don't want to play for, the Rockies are going to lead the list of, hey, wait a minute, I don't know that I should be voting for this guy. He's on the Rockies. And that's how fans think when they vote. So, wild world that we live in, and it's only wild over on social media, so stay away if you can. But look, if you must, you can interact with me at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and head over to the YouTube page, Rockies Insider, and get plenty of video, hopefully doing a live show from Coors Field on Thursday. If not, it'll be soon after that. Appreciate you dropping by and the momentum you've given me just by listening to this. You can give me more by giving me a review anywhere you listen to this as a podcast. That'll sustain me a lot longer than you just listening. So please, please do that. But thanks for dropping by. I appreciate that momentum. But unfortunately, it can only be as good as my next show. So of course, I'll talk to you then.